yesterday's attacks on others.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
The war on Yemen is approaching a tragic battle over the port of Hodeidah. In mid-June, the so-called Saudi-led coalition launched an attack on the port, the entry point for about 80% of the food, medicine, and aid supplies coming into the war-torn country. Oxfam has warned that the battle, if lingers on, will massively escalate this humanitarian crisis, while millions already are on the brink of famine.
7 million people are completely reliant every month on food, and more than 7 million on other assistance from humanitarian organizations. So Hodeidah is absolutely central to the preserving of life. And if for any period Hodeidah were not to operate effectively, the consequences in humanitarian terms would be catastrophic.
Hodeidah has been controlled by the Houthi Ansarullah movement since 2015. The port is now Yemen's only aid and goods pipeline due to a Saudi-led blockade of Yemen's borders and airspace. The invaders hope that by taking Hodeidah, they can finally take Sana'a, the capital city, from the Houthis.
Hodeidah is important because it is the port of Yemen through which 70% of all aid is received in that country, including humanitarian aid, medicines, food, fuel, etc., and the revenues that are necessary for the Ansarullah movement to continue the resistance against this illegal Saudi war on their country.
Since the outbreak of the war, the Saudi-led bombing campaign has indiscriminately hit civilian infrastructure in the country without bringing any advance for them. Many Yemen observers see the attack as a big failure by the U.S. to hold back its main Arab partners, who are dependent on American weapons, intelligence, and logistical support. To Kate Kaiser of Win Without War, the UAE's assault on Hodeidah is just another example of the Trump administration outsourcing U.S. policy in Yemen, and really the region at large, to the Persian Gulf states.
The U.S. and its allies in NATO, including, unfortunately, Canada, are playing a game of world domination. And in the Middle East, their idea is to enlarge the powers, to aggrandize certain countries, namely Saudi Arabia and the State of Israel, to act as their brokers, their power brokers. They are concerned about countries, regional power brokers, such as Iran, independent countries that have not compliant with U.S. foreign policy and support the Palestinian people and the Syrian people and so on.
Riyadh and Abu Dhabi had long sought to attack the strategic port, arguing that taking it would put political pressure on the Houthis. In 2015, UAE-backed forces took the southern port city of Aden. But when the White House found out that the country had planned to seize Hodeidah, Susan Rice, Obama's national security advisor, called UAE Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed, saying that the U.S. would not support the action. But the Trump administration has had a different stance on it.
There is a difference. Obviously, There have been some mercenaries involved in the fighting, Western mercenaries, including American ones, over a length of time. But now I think that there are some Pentagon officials. They're mostly ex-generals, ex-colonels who were active in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And they are joining the UAE in particular to help them with managing the campaign, things like logistics. There's a number of sort of Pentagon officials that are specifically helping.
U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo spoke to various Emirati officials, but did not pressure them to stop the attack. I have spoken with Emirati leaders and made clear our desire to address their security concerns while preserving the free flow of humanitarian aid and life-saving commercial imports. Washington is denying that it has a direct role in the attack on the port, but experts believe that the assault was impossible without the U.S.'s green light. According to CNN, the U.S. has rejected appeals for direct military and intelligence support. But the U.S., along with the U.K., opposed a demand by Sweden at the U.N. Security Council on June 14th that Saudi Arabia and the UAE declare an immediate ceasefire.
The U.S. and the U.K. express so much concern that they shed crocodile tears allegedly over their concern for the human rights and the plight of civilians in Syria, in Libya, in Nicaragua, in Venezuela, in Cuba, in North Korea. But when it comes to countries which are their targets or targets of their proxy armies, such as the Saudi coalition, they show no concern whatsoever for the people's welfare or their human rights. It's a kind of Western European white selective empathy, and it's disgraceful.
Some suspect that the Saudi-UAE military attack is to sink peace efforts by the UN Special Envoy Martin Griffiths, whereby the Houthis would withdraw from Hodeidah and the UN would take over the port city.
We've become very good friends over a fairly...
But the most important motive for escalation by Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and their foreign backers, such as the US, Britain, and France, is that the war has not been going well for them.
That's peanuts for you. Should have increased it.
More than 3 years into the war, the Houthis control the capital Sana'a, along with almost all of highly populated North Yemen. They still remain capable of firing the occasional missile into Saudi Arabia. The Houthis have recently hit a UAE warship with missiles. They had done that before.
3 years of war is enough. It is time for a political process. And if the Houthis don't want to start the political process, we will force them to start the political process. So the objective of the operation strategically is to use military force to change the calculus towards a political process.
Moreover, the Saudis want to wrap up the three-year-old war before normalizing ties with Israel. It is now an open secret that the Saudi kingdom has intelligence relations with Tel Aviv, and both sides are keen on expanding their relations and making them public. Meanwhile, humanitarian concerns expressed by the US, Britain, and France is all a sham and hypocrisy, as they are supplying the arms and advisors with which that war is being waged.
What's happened is that there's been increasing violence around the city, to the south of the city, and it's been getting closer and closer to Hodeidah city. The impact of this is bigger than just on Hodeidah city alone. In Hodeidah, we have 600,000 people. We expect and we project 250,000 of these people will lose everything they have, potentially also their lives.
الآن لا تقفل المينا فيها شيء أجل نشتغل لما يدخل إلينا الحصار ذو البلايات الذي واتي فيها شيء نشتغل فيها شر أنا إلا الموت غير الموت أنا ولا شيء.
ذا الدين ما صار يروح تعبان ولا تودينا على علاج ولا حاجة. من كتن ضروري من كتن ضروري ما يقع حروب وقع حاجة متبقى حروب ذا ما هو اللي شو نسوي لأني تعبان ولا ذي حي.
The Hodeida operation can turn a humanitarian disaster into complete catastrophe. Three quarters of the 27 million Yemenis require aid to survive. And this may be cut off soon if the fighting goes on.